Welcome to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight, influential leaders and their game-changing insights. I'm Jacqueline Stominger, CEO and founder of Leap to Your Success. That's leaptoyoursuccess.com. We help entrepreneurs, leaders, and CEOs grow their business, become unstoppable high achievers in their careers and life, gaining that 1% edge. We believe every professional has the power within them to leap to their greatest success that not only will impact their life, but the lives of the people they touch. So stick around to the end of the show and we will share with you how you can be our next guest. So stick around for those 15 to 20 minutes and let's be unstoppable. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another great episode of the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight podcast. I am your host, Jacqueline Stominger, and on this show, we hear from amazing leaders and their game-changing insights and great tips, things that you can do to become a better leader. And remember, each and every one of us is the CEO of ourselves, so we have to start with leadership right here. So today I have Francie Jane on as my amazing guest. And let me give you a little background on Francie. She, first of all, believes that happy and productive communities are made up of people who strive and receive support to become their best selves, of course. And she founded TerraWatt to create an impactful, affordable, and intellectually honest way to help everyone thrive. And she believes that supporting people to achieve their potential creates a ripple effect in every community. I could not agree more. So welcome, Francie. Woohoo!
Thank you, lady. I'm so happy to be here.
Okay, so the what I just read, like the part where it's like creating that thriving community.
Yeah.
Where did this all come from? For you.
Oh God. So it's such a good question because this is not at all my background. I went to business school and I worked in finance for a long time. And, but I was always like the matchmaker. That was kind of my role. I was doing capital raising for hedge funds and I think, you know, it's like, there's a kind of natural progression for a lot of people. Like, you know, you're sort of what intrigues you as a young person or maybe before you had a family or whatever might change later. And so, I started paying attention to, like, there's just this one statistic about the loss of manufacturing jobs in America. And it was very significant. And I thought, wow, are those numbers true? Like, it was like millions and millions of jobs. And I've done all this research since. But yes, like the peak of American manufacturing was in the 40s. And so if you basically look at any time series, it's like a lot of manufacturing jobs have been lost just because it's just never been a flat. Black industry, it's always, it just peaked a long time ago. And so I thought, well, you know, who's helping those people as they find a new career? Because I knew in my experience, when I switched careers, I freaked out my family and freaked out my friends. You know, like, people always like kind of hyper about it. And I was always like saying to them, chill, like, it'll be fine. You know, like, I'll figure it out. And so I guess my insight was, I bet that's really hard for them because not that many people are good at helping you through these kinds of transitions. And then I thought, oh, I wonder if there's like a Yahoo of like career change because it's an American way, right? There's a boom, the bust. We believe in capitalism. We, you know, we just let things like fall where they may. And I couldn't find anything. And I started to get really obsessed with this idea of like, who's helping career change people? And is that like a weird thing that like somehow hasn't really happened in America? And so, again, like, I mean, I had been an entrepreneur before that. I started a business raising capital, but I never thought of myself as like a startup kind of a person. And I definitely don't have an HR background or a learning and development background. It was more just like, I kept thinking, well, if no one's going to do this, like I'm going to do this. I think this really needs to happen. This needs to be a thing. Yeah. And part of my thing was also like, I get annoyed by organizations that look like they're helping individuals, but really don't. Like conferences can be, you know, questionable because you're paying a lot of money, but you're kind of sitting in your butt. Or, you know, headhunters, but they're really working for the employer. You know, all these kinds of things. Or so even like Facebook and these social media, like you're the product you're being advertised to. You know, all these things I just felt like theoretically help people, but really they're the people are being kind of thrown to the wolves a little bit. And so this was the whole idea of this was like, how can I build something that really helps people be great? And there's intellectually honest, and I'm not, you know, taking advantage of anyone. And, you know, everyone. And so it took me a long, long time because, again, like, it's not my background. And because I'm sort of leading with values, it took a while to figure out. But ultimately, now here we are. It's a B2B marketplace, meaning we sell to employers. And what's cool about that is we have three stakeholders. And the thing that I love about this business is I've designed it so that everyone, there's only one website. I tell the same thing to all three groups. There's no, like, no one's being disadvantaged. Everyone's being treated very well in the way they want to be treated. And it makes me really happy because, you know, certainly at the outset, you could probably make more money by disadvantaging one group, which lots of organizations do right now. But I really wanted to set something up so that I felt proud about what I'd done. And a lot of people I know from college are coaches, is one of my jokes with the thing. So like, I also built this for them to have it be a system that they make sense for them. They want to stay. And so that's sort of the 30,000 foot view of the whole thing.
Okay. So I've got a couple of different questions, but I want to start with, because there's a few things here, but first, and then I'm going to go into my first question before I go to the second question. But the first question is, you know, it's what you just said about, you know, like the transitions into people, right? People making those transitions and really, you know, who at the companies who are doing that. And I look at that and think, in actuality, that's like one of the key reasons why we do this podcast is because leaders are supposed to be leaders, and that lead, the word is to lead people, not to manage.
Right.
We're not managing people, right? We're leading them. So if I'm leading you, I'm your, technically your manager, I'm really your leader, then I should be able to, in a company, lead up to help you lead, right?
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily happen. And it should be that I know you, oh, Francie, I know who you are. You're doing great here. Oh, but let me find out from you, like, where do you want to go? What is your vision? What's your mission in your life? Maybe this position is not the right position for you. Maybe.
Oh, yes.
Like, so I love what you're doing because it's to me, that's what's missing so much in so many companies today. So where do you find, and, you know, as you're working with people today, is it working with the companies so that the company better leaders, or is it the individual, or is it the both?
Yeah, so great question. So like, we kind of, a few processes is like the way to think about it. So like, on one side, we are constantly vetting coaches. We have like almost like 100 coaches on Terawatt, and that side of it's like semi-viral, meaning like we have great coaches, they tell other coaches they admire or who they like, they respect, and then they introduce them to us. And so that's one side. And because we're a marketplace, we always want to keep the ones we have and add more. So there's just more choice from the buyer. Then on the other side is the employers and the employees. And so we're really mostly marketing to the employers because our argument right now, because a lot of times people say, well, coaching, that's great. If I had extra money, I would do it. But what we're saying is actually, listen, that's not how it works. This is an investment in your company the way any investment would be, like R&D or bonds. You know, there is a return on investment for this, and like there's data about this, and this will make your company better, and there are no downsides. So it's just a question of like, you know, where you want to start. And so so right now, really, I'm finding the best conversations happen at the C-level, because what I like to say to people in the C-suite is, listen, like, what does your employee turnover cost you? Because that is incredibly expensive. And what if you could spend $1 billion fraction of that?
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
It's a $45 billion expense in the United States alone. And that's like a statistic that I don't know. I must've Googled it. I don't know how many, like two years ago, whatever. So, and it was like just in the United States. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was like, oh, it's like huge.
No, it's huge. Like, Yeah. And then what happens is I think a lot of times organizations just assume it's just the cost of business, and it just actually doesn't have to be that way. And one thing that's really interesting, and maybe you know this too, but like every industry has its own like weird average of employee turnover. Like I pay a lot of attention to like hospitals and healthcare because that's around 20% up depending on the place. But it can be especially expensive in hospitals because you have like traveling nurses or you have ways to plug a hole, but it's very expensive. The other day I was looking up the construction industry. It's like 60% employee turnover in the construction industry. I know, isn't that crazy? And it's also really high like that for food retail, like, you know, McDonald's or maybe it's like fast. I don't, anyway, but every industry has their own like number. Like it's like 14% in tech. It's all like a little bit different. And kind of my pitch is that, A, what if you weren't average? What if you were better than average? You know, what would that mean to your business? And what would that mean to your recruiting? And what would that mean to your revenue? And that's kind of what I kind of think that we all should be striving for. It's like, instead of just saying, this is just what it is, what it is, it's like, let's find a way to not to be excellent, you know, and in a way that's cost efficient.
You know, Francie, I love that because I'm just like, oh, got it. Like, you're speaking my language. I'm like, because it's so true. Like, I look at You look at to me, leadership is not, and companies and businesses should be, you know, it shouldn't be people running away from them. It should be, and trust me, I don't want to say, oh my God, all these people should not become entrepreneurs and run, but imagine if like turnover wasn't as great and the company truly invested in the people and they had great leadership and you could say to, you know, your leader and or maybe even to the CEO or whatever and say, hey, you know, CEO or person, I've had this idea. And why can't we make companies entrepreneurial? You know, you could be sitting, you know, in this position and be like, God, you know, we could be doing it better if we, you know, maybe if we went, you know, instead of pressing the button like this, we pressed it like this. You know what I mean? And so create that internal entrepreneurial feeling where people are part of something bigger than themselves versus just a time punch or doing the work.
Yeah, 100%. And in fact, it's so funny when you were speaking, it reminded me of this conversation I had the other day, which is like, you know, kind of the conversation was, well, how do you keep rising stars? And one of the things is you have to constantly, it's really everyone in the company, but especially stars, you have to develop them professionally. You can't just like hire and be like, oh, this person's a star. They're going to like change our culture. That's like not how it works. So like, even if you like are doing grass is greener thing and you pull in someone who's a star, you still have to be developing them. And then I think what the kind of future of human capital is a little bit is, like you said, letting people be a little bit entrepreneurial, maybe it's a little bit outside the lines, but if someone has a lot of energy and creativity, why not let them start to develop something that they find interesting? It's almost like that Google idea of like 20% of your time is working on this other area. And it
Yeah.
makes a lot of sense because if you have so many great ideas and you're kind of like bound in by like the infrastructure of a corporation, like so okay, like let them try something else, and like who knows what that will lead for the company. And I think when companies give up that kind of control, like really interesting things happen. Like there's also that story of the janitor who was like the Cheetos guy who came up with like spicy, you know, like more like Mexican or South
I know
American
they did that,
flavors.
right. They did that whole documentary on that whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's really, I mean, you know, this, which I know is a real story, but the other story to me is to that is when I was growing up, my parents were manufacturers reps, and I grew up in Massachusetts. And I remember my parents were sold to this gentleman. I cannot think of his name, which is really horrible. And I apologize for that. But he ended up becoming the CEO of TJ Maxx, TJX. Okay. He started in the mailroom. You don't hear of those stories. Like he started in the mailroom and he worked his way up. He became a buyer. My parents worked with him as a buyer. I mean, the guy was at my bat mitzvah. I mean, like, you know, and then he became the CEO of this company. And I remember forget like when I moved back to Boston after living in New York, I remember walking into his office and, you know, meeting him, and like he's CEO of this massive conglomerate, and you just think, again, where did he start? But if, you know, and it's every single person, if we know that every person in a company, if every person, no matter where they are, it's not about their title or their position, it's about their drive and their feeling for the company themselves, right? And their love of the company. You know, you could be the janitor, you know, and it's, they tell the story about, I don't know, I think it was in one of the Compound Effect or something, whatever, about, you know, maybe it was JFK or I don't know, going to visit NASA, right? And the janitor is like, you know, what do? He goes, oh, I help get people to, on the moon, whatever, you
Oh
know, right?
yeah, I love that. Well, another thing I was going to say to you is, I think, like for me, like I'm always so in awe of the coaches. Like I'm not a coach, but I love being coached. And I think that the big thing that the coaches do is that they help people who don't have that. They haven't grown up with this like A plus parenting can do, you know, growth mindset. And I was thinking about, like you were saying, the guy grew up in the mailroom. Like, I bet that guy was like the not like probably one of like the top 1% of like growth mindset people is my guess. And he was probably full of ideas, always coming up with ways to improve efficiency, you know, improve, make efficient, blah, blah, blah. And like, not everyone has that, right? But like, coaches can teach you that. And like,
Right.
we could all be that, you know? And so I think about that so much, which is like, listen, like, not everyone has all the things. They didn't have the exact background they all wish, but like when you bring in experts, we can all be great, you know, if that's what you want. And that's the other thing. It's like, you know, employees have, or people just have to be like opt in. I think the opting in is like a major game changer
Yes.
for these organizations, because when you tell someone you have to do this training or that, they're like, oh. But if you can tell them like, yeah, but here's why this matters, and here's why this is interesting, you here's why it'll make you better, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's much more interesting. Or like, Janice over here took this training and then look what she did. Or you know, I think that like everyone wants the before and after, everyone wants to know why me, like why do I care? And so I think about all this stuff and like, why can't it be more often? Why can't stuff be more scalable? Like, and we have all the tools now, so there's no reason why, you know, everyone's just saying on from on top, do this, do this, do this. It really should be like, hey, we think if you did these things, it would make you more valuable or more effective at your job. Like, you decide, what do you, would you like to do these? And I think in the past, people have just been like, well, it's just not efficient to like get everyone to buy in. I'm just going to tell them to do it. But I actually think that like the better way to, ultimately the better way to do it is let people like choose for themselves.
And you know, it's so true, because you know what happens when people are buy into something and they feel that they're part of something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And
And like 100%.
right, they feel so much better about them, and it's true. You know, not everybody was brought up in this can-do mindset.
Totally.
You know, and I shared this the other day. I was a guest on a podcast, and I'm going to share this because I think it's making me think about this. You know, movies, kids' movies, are really great at coming up with and sharing little nuggets. And so I think too, the Cars movie, Cars 3, if you haven't seen it.
No, you know.
Sorry, I'm like, okay, Cars 3. The whole thing about Cars 3 is that Lightning McQueen is kind of like, he's old, right? He's not the shiny new thing anymore. There's bigger muscle. There's other people have, you know, different configurations in the cars, and there's like something's newer and shinier and faster. And what, there's a person who's training him, who's supposed to be training, and he sees something in her. And he asked, and she said to him, she said, you know, I had my chance, and I lost it. I got up to the starting line, and you know, and I couldn't go. And so she ended up asking Lightning McQueen, she said, what made you get to that starting line, and know that you could do it? He said, I didn't, but I never thought I couldn't. It
Oh,
wasn't
yeah.
like, I never thought, like, that wasn't in my vocabulary. It wasn't in
Yeah.
my mind. It's just, I just thought that I could, like, I know that I knew that I could. Would I don't know. But, and
Yeah.
so, and it was that mindset shift, like knowing that, you know, is it the, sh is it, and so that's one of the things that I love about what you're doing, and how we can help people better shift their mindsets in companies to know that anything is possible.
Oh, yeah. And I think, and so one of my big things is, you know, I'm sure you know all about this, but like the Google Project Aristotle, and how they discovered and published, I guess, in 2015, that they'd done a big, like, deep dive into their best teams and to try to figure out what makes the best team. And like, was it geography? Was it this? Was it that? And the only, like, the one tr through line was psychological safety. And since then, everyone's been trying to figure out, like, well, how do you scale psychological safety? And I think my takeaway is coaching, group coaching, because you have to practice it. You have to have someone who really understands it. And it doesn't have to be like someone who's like certified in psychological safety, but it's an expert who just helps people like understand how to respect differences, or how to, like, you know, communicate with someone who sees the world differently. And like, that's what all these coaches are doing, right? It's like, instead of saying like, Janice is so annoying, I'm not going to talk to her anymore because she's toxic. It's like, okay, well, how can I get Janice on my side? Like, what's the way to like understand her better? Like, what motivates her? Like, that's a different, it's a little bit of a game. It is a mind set shift, but you know, if you're able to like have the support of other people around you, and it becomes, everyone realizes like that's a different way to operate and it's effective, like, let's try it, you know? And I think that's what everyone ultimately is doing in these psychologically safe places, is everyone's connecting, everyone's speaking sort of their truth. It may not go the way you want, but there's no retaliation. You know, it's like you just say what you like. And really, and it also makes me think of intersectionalism, which is this idea that I learned about it not a long time ago, but like, what was that, 2016? But basically, that when how do you say it? When you work on the problems of the most vulnerable people, that solves everyone's problems. And so that same idea of like, well, actually, just like focusing on these small details, which are probably not super efficient, and maybe it's an edge case, but who knows who else might have that edge case, and you just might not know it. You know, so like, when you help people who, like, maybe let's say are disabled, that will help people who have a broken leg. You know, and that might be temporary, but you know, all these ideas. And so I think it's like helping everyone kind of thrive and raise their potential is kind of like my sort of vision and fantasy.
I love that. I love that. So talk to me a little bit about the three different groups that you have in, you know, that you said that you have. So what are the three? I
Yeah, so
can
it's the,
recognize what they are, but
yeah, so the coaches, and they're experts, and like I say, they're like all the stars in the sky. Like, everyone has a different perspective, and obviously everyone has a different sort of story and experiences. We have, like, you know, we have many PhDs, you know, who basically created their own like tests and content, and then we have people who haven't gone to college who are just crazy talented. Like, you know, one guy does group coaching in prisons. Like, that's super cool. Or just people who've done it their whole lives and didn't realize there was like a name for it, stuff like that. They're just cool people. And so, you know, we basically, for the coaches, we're just trying to say to them, you bring your content, you bring your expertise, you tell us the price, and we let the employer choose. And so typically what it looks like is, like, we'll work with an employer to come up with an RFP, you know, a request for proposal. And then we send it out to all the coaches, and we say, you tell us what they should do. We want to hear it directly from you. And like, what's your rate? How much time will it take? You know, blah, blah, blah. And then we send it to the employer to kind of react to. And so, you know, typically we'll have anywhere from like 4 to 20 proposals. And then the buyer can kind of decide what they want their next step to be. But again, like, it's just a way to give them so much choice and see a variety of prices and a variety of coaches and styles. And again, like, I just am a big believer in buy-in, right? So it's not like we're saying to the employer, like, this is what you need. It's more like we're trying to say to them, what's your problem? Let's try to find experts who can help you with that problem. Let's see how you react to like their proposals. And then you know, let's get really specific. So the person you hire is like the perfect, perfect person for you. And then the third group is the employees. And the one funny thing about it is that sometimes what the employer thinks the employees need is not what the employee wants. And so we also help them with like surveys and really trying to get to the bottom of like what would be interesting or helpful to employees, because I think there is that potential when you're the buyer, you're like, oh, I know what the problem is, or I think they should have this. But then again, you get the better buy-in if the employees are saying, I could really use this, not this other thing. And so those are the three groups. And it's funny because the employers and the employees are obviously aligned because they work together, but they have different perspectives, because a typical employee is thinking like, what does this do for me? What does this do for my career? How does this help me? Where the employer is more thinking about the organization, and like an aggregate, and also price and ROI, right. All that stuff, right? So they have different kind of like perspectives, but that, those are the three groups, yeah.
Yeah. And so do you have any employees just come directly to you?
I haven't yet. You know, I would totally do that. I would love to do that. Like my vision is, you know, like right now we do employers, right? Because it's easy to corral a group and you don't let out company secrets or whatever. But I think there's a lot of potential for, you know, 20 people around America, you know, to get on a call once a week or once a month and that have some same goal. It could be anything, right? It could be like negotiation, or it could be tough conversation. It could be anything, you know? And I would love to do that. It's just more the herding of the cats is the is the issue with that. But I also love the idea of an employee pitching us, like pitching to their company us. Like I would be very helpful with that as well, because I think they'd know better than anyone, like about what they need.
Yeah, no, that's actually really, that's really, so what's your next, so what's your, what, where do you see the company going, and what are the next two steps that you need to take?
Yeah. Oh, good question. Next two steps. Well, the big thing that we're kind of doing is I really think we could help with any knowledge worker and probably any worker. I haven't really been focusing much on like blue collar jobs, but I think there's a really interesting use case for that. But so initially we've been focusing on, you know, knowledge workers. And I just sort of define that as people who are primarily using, you know, the computer to do their work. yeah, I didn't write a second pot. Like, well, how do you define that? And then we would keep getting more and more specific, because we have some like good experience, also some case studies with hospitals and healthcare. And so we're trying to focus a little bit in there. Like I said, it's about 20% employee turnover. And hospitals are actually interesting to me, because when they plug a hole, it's very expensive. So like traveling nurses and all these kinds of overtime things where you need bodies, it's very expensive. And so I think there's a lot we can help with. And typically doctors and nurses and techs haven't ever received personal assessments or coaching, or it's actually this fascinating area of the American economy that has had very little professional development outside of science and math.
Yeah. I could go down a rabbit hole on healthcare. So my husband's a physician.
Oh.
So we can take that offline.
It's so interesting to me. So like, I mean, just in this whole personal assessment thing, like, again, like we don't have like a dog in this fight, but I had my first personal assessment in business school. And it was like mind blowing, because I did Myers-Briggs, and some people like it, that's fine. But like, it was really helpful to me, because it told me that I was this crazy off the charts extrovert. And I never would have thought of myself that way. It's more that I'm really just motivated by relationships. It's not that I'm like a glad, handy person who walks into rooms and like introduces myself to everyone. And yeah, like that really like opened my eyes. And we had a similar thing with a hospital where we had a bunch of doctors and they never had a personal assessment. They were like in their 30s and 40s and 50s. And like it blew their mind, because they were like, well, they assumed that everyone thought the way they did. And even within a doctor organization where it's science and math, like there were like four or six like groups of different people seeing the world differently and like what mattered to them. And that really affected care, because if they were trying to tell someone why it was important to immediately do this thing, but the person hearing it wasn't, their key things were not being checked off. They're like, I'll do that later. And so anyway, it just blew my mind. I feel like, wow, there's so much opportunity to help. And it just wouldn't be that long. It wouldn't take that much money. So that's kind of why I find it really interesting, the healthcare space.
It's true, because a lot of times people don't look at physicians, or even sometimes I'm going to put attorneys in sometimes of
Yeah,
that.
that's another good one. Yeah.
There's, you know, they see things through a certain lens. And then when you switch the lens, they're like, ooh. So it's like helping them see things through those different lenses,
Totally.
you know, and how they can not, you know, they are in a position almost like to be telling, like, you've got this, or you need to do this, but you need to almost like, you know, take it from the standpoint of the person that's sitting in front of you, right?
Right, exactly. And I think that's the thing. I call it like the engineering brain. I think when you are very clear about the steps to success, it seems really obvious that there are steps to success, but you know, there aren't many like things between humans where there's like one right way, you know? And so I think that like to step out of that for a moment and realize like, yeah, you might be the leading brain surgeon in America, but that doesn't mean that this person over here doesn't have great ideas about like, you know, how to wash your hands. You know, I mean, they're just like, there are all these ways that like people see the world differently that I think help each other. And so I think that like, that's this interesting opportunity, I think, for the healthcare space.
Okay, so step is, one step is working with, you know, the blue collar, right?
Oh yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
And so what's the second step for you?
Oh, okay. I will say, okay. So in terms of like the steps, what I have to do to be more successful, I'll tell you right now. So I have this whole like focus of really reaching out directly, like one-on-one individual emails and calls and like warm intros to C-suite people at for-profit hospitals. And so that's kind of what I'm working on. And I think, because what I've realized is this is not a spray and pray type product, right? I think it's something that you really have to understand. And I want to speak to thoughtful people and have thoughtful conversations. And I'm not like trying to sell them on any one thing, but just really open up the aperture or let them realize that like this exists. And so it's a little bit of education as well too. And so for me, I really have to, so basically I have this whole like elaborate idea about understanding who's hiring the most and doing some work on like staffing websites and stuff like that. So that's like my next big step, is to really just start to do a lot of work to see on these staffing websites who's hiring the most. And I come up with this like idea of like who's hiring the most as a ratio of like their total employees, because I feel like that would show you who's like under the most pressure. And so I think that's really interesting to me, and I need to focus on that. I'm very close to being inbox zero. That's another step I really want to take. I have two emails in my inbox right now, and I'm like so excited. Because for me, it also feels like a blank slate. Like I feel like I can like do things when I don't have to-dos and sitting in front of me. And so I'm really trying to get rid of my to-dos. So I would say those are the main things. You know, I've been doing a lot of like one-on-one networking with people and trying to make intros. And I love that. That to me is like a perfect use of like my sort of brain. And so cause I love sort of being like, you know, helpful and just like generous with people with introductions. And so I've been doing a lot of that. And I always want to try to follow through on those. So I prioritize those as well.
That's awesome. That's really, really great. You know, Francie, I could talk to you for absolutely hours, but how can people get in touch with you and learn more about you and your company and getting involved?
Yeah. So terawatt.co is our website, and we have a get in touch page, and that can either take you to set up a call with me, or you can also just join our newsletter. Our most active social media is LinkedIn. I'm pretty active, and then the company is pretty active too. Those are the best ways to find me or engage. And we have some other smaller social media, but it's a little bit sad. So those are probably the main ones.
Okay. Well, absolutely fantastic. So leaders listening to this, you heard this, right? We are talking about using coaching to really help grow your team and to actually create great, happy people and employees in your fold so that you have long-standing growth and have great, results and increase your bottom line. At the ROI is, happy people make a happy company, which makes for a growing company. So I want you guys to all connect with Francie. Connect with her, learn about her company, engage. And remember, if we can do this and make better leaders, if you can become a better leader, you will not only have an unstoppable company, but you'll have unstoppable employees. So if you have gotten any great wisdom out of this, which I'm sure you have, hit the subscribe button. I am Jacqueline Strominger, your high performance coach and the host of Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight. And I thank you all for listening. And thank you, Francie, for being an amazing guest.
Thank you, lady.
I'm Jacqueline Strominger, and I want to thank you so much for listening to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight, Influential Leaders and Their Game-Changing Insights podcast. If you are a successful CEO, entrepreneur, or leader in your industry, and you have insights you would like to share, we want you to be a guest on this program. So please visit go.leaptoyoursuccess.com/podcast. And if you have gotten something out of this interview and you'd like to share the episode on social media, just go ahead and take a screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on socials. If you know somebody who would be a great guest, please tag them on social media and let them know about the show and include the hashtag Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight. I love seeing your posts and your guest suggestions. So we regularly are putting out new episodes and content. So please make sure you don't miss any episodes and go ahead and hit subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they mean so much to me and my team. You want to know more about the podcast or about Leap to Your Success? Just go to the website leaptoyoursuccess.com or follow me, Jacqueline Strominger, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Just plug in my name, Jacqueline, that's J-A-C-L-Y-N, dot Strominger, S-T-R-O-M-I-N-G-E-R, and follow me on all the socials. So thank you so much for listening, and remember, be unstoppable.